Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington.
And I'm Ayan Bior, also in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Wednesday, December 16th, 2015. The UN Security Council votes to extend its mandate in South Sudan and provide more troops. What's the government's reaction?
The money you're going to use on the troops, why don't you convert it to helping development in South Sudan?
And a website is created to remember South Sudanese victims of conflicts and wars.
I feel like some of the people that died during the war or after the war, they have never been honored, and this is a way to honor them. I mean, my father didn't die in vain. My brother, my cousin, it's just to honor the people that actually fought for this country. So at least to remember them and to give them some respect.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus.
The government of South Sudan is criticizing the United Nations Security Council's decision yesterday to deploy an additional 1,000 peacekeepers to South Sudan. Foreign Minister Benjamin Mariel says this will not help efforts to speed up implementation of the peace agreement signed by both sides in August.
The implementation of the peace process does not need more troops. What it needs is the capacity building program and the proper use of the present peacekeepers in South Sudan to have a mandate which is helpful to the government and the people of South Sudan, resolve the issues and handle the issue of humanitarian assistance. I think those are the issues. I don't think the money you're going to use on the troops, why don't you convert it to helping development in South Sudan?
13 out of the 15 member nations of the UN Security Council voted to extend the UNMISS mandate for another 6 months. Russia and Venezuela abstained, citing concerns over sanctions and the use of drones or unmanned surveillance vehicles in South Sudan. The Security Council insists that adding more troops will enhance the mandate mission to protect civilians. More than 12,000 uniformed UN peacekeepers are already stationed in South Sudan. The Security Council says more troops will help monitor and investigate human rights abuses and violations in South Sudan. Samantha Power, the United States ambassador to the UN, says the addition of more peacekeepers is in line with the request of UN police and troops on the ground, who say they need more life-saving tools.
This increase will further allow UNMISS to support ceasefire monitoring and provide technical assistance to the Joint Integrated Police, a body which will be important in maintaining security in cities throughout the country.
UN peacekeepers are also asking for drones, which they say will minimize the risk of danger to civilians. Russia and Venezuela, who abstained from the vote, say threatening the government with sanctions and drones could be counterproductive. Mariel agrees.
Sanctions do not solve any problem on South Sudan, and the use of drones is unnecessary. We don't need drones, really. What would be the purpose of using drones? There are more better things that the United Nations can do in South Sudan, and that is help the capacity, enhance development.
The Security Council urged the implementation of early warning strategies, including information gathering and monitoring of certain activity in South Sudan in order to counter threats and attacks against civilians. Officials with the UN mission in South Sudan say early warning systems can help with the investigation of widespread abuses against women and children, including sexual and gender-based violence.
It's been 2 years since the conflict broke out in South Sudan, which led to the deaths of more than 10,000 people. Civil rights activists have launched a website to register civilians who lost their lives in various wars over the last six decades, with a particular emphasis on this latest conflict. The Community Empowerment for Progress organization, or CEPO, is leading the initiative for the website called Remembering the Ones We Lost. For VOA News, Philip Donaleo files this report from Juba.
CEPO Executive Director Edmund Yakani says they began registering names of the victims of the current conflict 11 months ago. He says the website has one main goal.
This website, it is a memorial initiative that we need to keep in the memory of South Sudanese, the dark history of 15 December, which has happened in 2013, not to repeat itself again. We name the names of the civilians who were innocently killed during the crisis. They don't represent any either of the warring parties, but innocently they lost their lives because of the power struggle among our leaders.
Yakani says, due to what he says is an overwhelming response from the public, the website will also include the names of civilians lost in various civil wars between the then Southern Sudanese armed groups and successive governments in Khartoum.
We have gone to 1955, we have gone to 1991 in Bor. So all the violent incidents that we have, the names were submitted to us voluntarily by families, by organizations, by relatives of those who have lost their lives. And we have undergone 11 months of verifying each name.
Yakani says his organization and other activists received 11,000 names during the 11 months of registration and only managed to verify 4,500 names by confirming with at least 3 sources. He says SEPO believes that the registered names of victims in South Sudan's various conflict are credible. Agnes Diawol, an activist and co-founder of the Remembering Ones We Lost initiative, warns every South Sudanese who was either killed or identified as missing during South Sudan's conflicts to be remembered. She says a small act of simply altering a loved one's name in a public place empowers families and friends to gain closure and peace for the ones they have lost.
It felt like a first step before anything else can happen, before people can heal and reconcile. You have to know who died. You have to appreciate that other people from other tribes and other families and other communities have also suffered losses. And in that shared understanding, I think we can take the next steps towards healing and reconciliation.
Bishop Emeritus Frederick Taban agrees. He says remembering the dead helps heal the wounds inflicted by the various wars.
Empires, governments, kingdoms last for some years. 20 hundreds of years. The same with human life on earth. Human suffering, human mistakes. All this will pass away. We shall carry nothing with us from this world. Only God is eternal. Let us, as human beings, learn from the cursed lives.
Frida Taban, who is a retired bishop of Torit Catholic Diocese, says forgiveness is the best way to peaceful coexistence in South Sudan. Several activists and relatives of the victims of various South Sudanese wars attended the website launch, including Nyaguang Nyon, a daughter to late SPLA senior military officer William Nyon Bai. Nyon says the website will ensure that fallen heroes like his father are not forgotten.
I think it's very, very important. This should have been done long, long time ago. And I feel like some of the people that died during the war or after the war, they have never been honored, and this is the way to honor them. I think it's very crucial because, I mean, my father didn't die in vain. My brother, my cousin, it's just to honor the people that actually fought for this country or die because of the war, because of, so at least to remember them and to give them some respect.
But Yakani says the name of soldiers like Nyaguan's father are not being included on the website because it could be seen as partisan by the two warring parties. And he says there are other challenges.
There's an issue of sensitivity in submitting the names. Why is it, for who you are, for what purposes? Is it going to be used for political purposes? And also have a challenge of how do we use the names not to promote revenge.
Yakani says his organization's plans to push for building a memorial site to write the names on a giant wall for many people to assess. He says millions of South Sudanese were killed during the War of Independence from Sudan, and registering all of them represents a big challenge. Yakani is calling on authorities to support the initiative. Anyone can log on the website rememberingtheonceweloss.com to submit any name of any civilian killed during the war. He says the names will be verified by other sources before being published. For VOA News, I am Pilitona Leu in Juba.
A local think tank is also reflecting on the two-year anniversary of conflict, saying the country must apply various transitional and traditional justice mechanisms in order to attain national healing and reconciliation. A policy analyst at the Sud Institute think tank says there must be also accountability for abuses committed by both sides. Megumi Davis-Rakowinj reports for VOA from Juba.
The Sud Institute sponsored a public lecture to discuss the challenges facing conciliatory work with a focus on traditional justice mechanisms. Senior Sud Institute researcher Nial Titmar prepared a paper for a public lecture on the challenges for national healing and reconciliation. Titmar says South Sudan must draw applicable lessons from both modern and local contexts in order to establish its own transitional justice mechanism that will help bring suspected perpetrators of abuses to justice.
I don't think we have any tool in place to do that. Even the international community doesn't have tools to be honest. What they will have is to push for that and say, yeah, we condemn that and we condemn this and we want to do this. And they will not come and do that. And even if they come and do that, it will be messy.
The International Crisis Group says at least 50,000 people were killed in the first month of the conflict. And the UN says fighters for the government and the rebels committed criminal acts on civilians, including rape, torture and killings. Titimari says after interviewing scores of people across the country, he discovered that among the different ethnic communities, they primarily want the same thing: replace what has been lost and normalize relations.
People who have been aggrieved are not just looking for justice for the sake of justice, of course. I have to acknowledge that, you know, people's opinion will be there. They will tell you that we want justice to be done. We want the people to be punished. They can say that. But from the traditional understanding of justice, it's about replacement. It's not about punishing. So if you put someone in jail, so that family is still going to actually look for justice in the sense of traditional understanding.
Titumari says that is why it is important to learn about appropriate choices of transitional justice from the experiences of other countries in similar situations. He offers South Africa, Rwanda, and Yugoslavia as prime examples. Titumari says in traditional South Sudan, chiefs doubled as both religious and political leaders. Rituals would be performed with a view toward normalizing relationships between offenders and victims. James Okuk, head of political science department at Juba University, says the challenge for those who want to punish the perpetrators of crime in South Sudan will be to define which cases deserve traditional redress.
SPLA soldiers can never be traditional. Who went and killed in Godeli and who went and killed, you can never apply traditional justice on them. The other areas in both, the White Army. The White Army, some of them are traditional. So this is where the confusion comes in.
Adjonye Perpetua, who chairs Central Equatoria State's Land Commission and is a former judge, says the traditional justice mechanism, guided by customary laws, could be useful in addressing abuses committed during the conflict.
When you try and you say so-and-so's arrested already, is it finished? Has the problem been solved? They already hanged. This is another thing silently should go in our minds. So 90% of South Sudan cases during the time when Honorable Michael Makwi was the Minister for Justice, it was assessed in all the 10 states that 90% of the cases were traditional.
Although the conflict started as a political disagreement between top SPLM party leaders, it later took on ethnic tones, with many soldiers allying themselves to former Vice President Riek Machar, while Dinka soldiers remained loyal to President Salva Kiir. Elder and parliamentarian Michael Choldur says bringing perpetrators of crimes to justice won't be easy.
Traditionally, they solve their problem through compensation or what you call blood price. But with this new system of the government, there are no such cases. What they will do is to reconcile, sitting together, explain how this thing happens, and talk truth. Then they will come to a amicable solution so that they can carry out on their own normal life.
The blood price compensation is usually paid in the form of cattle among the Dinka and Nuer tribes. Titumari says it is difficult to resolve disputes between the two tribes using such a compensation because it is difficult to identify who killed who and who destroyed what property. He argues that it is not fair to generalize the responsibility of a certain few and hold an entire tribe accountable for criminal liability. For VOA News, I am Mugume, Davis Rakarinj in Juba.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Eastern Equatoria state officials take action to combat the high price of fuel. Find out what it is when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
is there anything your best friend that annoys you?
I'm one person who doesn't even have a best friend. You know, dealing with ladies sometimes is a bit challenging because of our emotions and all that. So what somebody would do that would annoy me is being taken for granted.
When they try not to understand my own view of issues.
Yes, of course, like surprises during my birthday. He or she can just surprise me with a gift.
Yes, because they pick my things, but I don't like that.
I think in the class of best friends, I'm the most annoying one.
She could tell you, oh, I'm on my way to this place, but she's still at home, and you wait and wait, and you'll be very tired of waiting for her.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. The Eastern Equatoria State Parliament has set a maximum price for fuel, a decision lawmakers say is aimed at protecting consumers against exploitation. Fuel stations across the state must now sell a liter of petrol for no more than 7 South Sudanese pounds. It had been set at 16 pounds a liter. While many motorists welcome the decision, some station managers say it will drive them out of business. For VOA News, Demo Silva-Orello has this report from Torit.
The Eastern Equatoria State Legislative Assembly passed the resolution on a unanimous vote yesterday. State lawmaker Severino Mayra Janus says fuel stations that fail to sell at 7 South Sudanese pounds per litre will have their license taken away.
Any fuel station found working contrary to the resolution number 20/2015 of the state economic cluster shall have its license confiscated or withdrawn, and Torit municipality, counties, and administrative area shall implement this resolution. State Ministry of Investment, Commerce, and Industry to ensure that no fuel station or company that incurred losses on fuel during the transportation shall increase prices per liter for loss recovery.
State MP Florence Knight says the decision lacks supporting documents to back it up. Knight says former Torit Mayor Martin Odehi Ohuro had approved the sale of petrol or diesel at 16 South Sudanese pounds per liter, even though she says that decision was wrong. She says before fixing another price, lawmakers should first scrutinize documents from the Torit Municipal Office to determine why the former mayor made that decision, which she believes exploited consumers.
When you look at C, which is Hass Petroleum, Hass Petrol Station, they are also saying they exchange their dollars from the black market, which has resulted into legalization of sale of petrol at black market rate at the petrol stations, which is for the first time happening in South Sudan. And it is happening in Torit. Why should we lose the legacy of this? Of the government of Eastern Equatoria, it is not a good practice at all. When we hear petrol is being sold at 16 per liter, which is a kind of improved way of selling in black and market rate, because people have been complaining.
Reaction is mixed among petrol dealers in the state capital Torit. Some station owners say the decision will likely force them to close. Some say now that the central bank has allowed the local currency to float freely at an exchange rate of a dollar to 18.7 South Sudanese pounds, lawmakers should review their decision to ensure they don't hurt fuel importers. Salad Adam, who works for Torit-based Warsam Petrol Station, says it will be difficult for fuel dealers to rely on inexpensive fuel supplies from the state-owned Nile Petroleum Corporation. He says most dealers incur many costs to import fuel from Kenya. He says no fuel station will agree to sell a liter of petrol or diesel at 7 South Sudanese pounds.
Bringing fuel from Kenya, it is a bit expensive, and we are hiring car, we are paying a lot of things. It is costing us a lot. So it's better if they make it fixed with 7 pounds, they can even make a way for us to get the fuel easily from Juba.
Hassan Abdil, manager of Seaway Petrol Stations, says he believes fixing the price of fuel at 7 pounds will cause major losses to his business.
There is nothing we will gain from that 7 pounds. This is making no sense at all.
But commuters in Torit town welcomed the decision, saying it will lead to a reduction in transport costs.
Momal Gabriel Mike, I'm really very happy about the price that is going to be reduced up to £7. We are welcoming this so that also we who are jobless, we shall benefit a bit.
Pimana Taban William, I'm a boda-boda rider. So this boda-boda is our work actually, but due to expensive, the fuels are now very expensive in the town.
By the name called Oyot Peter. The price of fuel was okay last year at £7 per litre. But these days, you can get a litre at 16. So real, this thing is real of burden to us because people are complaining that the price is a lot and it's even very difficult to get money these days.
Out of the 7 petrol stations in Turi town, only 3 are currently selling fuel. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Turi.
Central Equatoria State Caretaker Governor Juma Ali Malo is in the midst of a tour across 6 counties. His message, peace and unity. VOA fellow Tito Justin has more from Washington.
State Information Minister Emmanuel Adili says the governor is being accompanied by several other state officials on his tour, which began last week in Juba. Yesterday, the governor addressed hundreds of civilians along with dozens of officials in Yei County's Freedom Square. This marks the first time Governor Juma Ali is visiting the 6 counties since being appointed by President Kiir in August. Adil says the focus of the rallies is to inform the people of Central Equatoria about the current state of affairs in the country.
The governor is telling the people, number one, to support this peace process that started implementation so that they own it, and because he believes peace is for any tangible development and for any stability.
Adili says the governor is also addressing concerns over service delivery to people across the state. He says the issues of education, health and security have been key priorities for the state government. There have been attacks by unknown gunmen in roads linking some of the state counties of Yei and Kajikeji to Juba. Last weekend, a car was ambushed and 5 civilians were killed. Adili says security is a top issue for Governor Ali.
The state and the national government have taken the issue of security as a priority in South Sudan. Of course, number one, we as a government of South Sudan is implementing the cessation of hostility and the implementation matrix that we assigned.
Despite all these challenges, Adili says the state and its NGO partners will continue to deliver basic service to the people.
This tells you that even this world of country development is going on, of course. Our aspirations are high. So we are there to manage this aspiration. So what the governor decided that some of these projects that are ongoing has to be completed in terms of all the sectors I mentioned.
The governor is expected to travel to Morobo, Kajukeji and Terkeke counties as well. The date have yet to be released. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Washington.
A local NGO is using a novel way to build peace in communities torn apart by the recent conflict. Last weekend, the Maridi Youth Christian Association organized a drop ball, locally known as Boroboro Tournament, outside the capital. Magumi Davis Wakarinji attended the game and has this report from Juba.
Hundreds of people turned up to watch the launch of the Boroboro Girls Tournament at Rock City Ground in Rock City, a Juba suburb. Organizers believe the tournament will help revive one of traditional games beloved by many local communities. Organizer Thomas Titus Bazia says the game is far more than local entertainment.
People could be at home thinking, having many stresses, having many trauma, having many things, but it's part of feelings in their hearts when they come together and see children. As you can see, they hear the sound from the background. It's actually a sound of joy. It's not actual sound of mourning.
Titus says his organization has so far registered 5 clubs in the past month alone. And he says they plan to organize a tournament that will involve all 10 states. Fourteen-year-old Rosalind Festo, a Rock City player, says she's glad to be in the game.
It is better for us to do this such kind of exercise for us, like for self-fitness, I mean. This is the way that we can interact with our colleagues. Like, we cannot wait for peace to be signed out there, but this is how we can create peace and unity among ourselves.
The Form 1, Juba, diocesan, senior secondary school student, wants to grow up to be a journalist so she can educate her fellow citizens about news developments. Bolbolu, also known as dodgeball, has been played over the years, especially by young girls, using rudimentary balls made out of grass or plastic bags. But today, Festo and colleagues are playing using modern balls and in a demarcated playing field with rules to follow. Festo says it takes time to warm up, but once they start playing, it feels great.
Actually, at the beginning, we do feel shy, but at the end, we feel like we have that confidence to play because we are talented in this. And I would like also to give advice to others who are out there so they can come and join us.
And the fans were not disappointed.
My name is Julie Mariam. Yeah, I really like the game so much. I've really enjoyed the match. It's so interesting. Yeah, because they are using modern books.
Joseph Sekabila, a businessman from Uganda, was going about his work when he saw a group of spectators and joined in.
With games, as you know, it unites all people. It's an instinct that comes from the depth of you when you're watching people collectively, watching something that is interesting. I personally, I was on my way just washing my car, but when I saw people watching some game here, I came.
Sekabila says it is interesting to see young people, blood coming up, and to see how happy they are playing dodgeball together. The Rock City Bulbul Club won the game with 35 points, taking with them £700 in prize money against the Angel Stars, 26 points, who were also awarded £600. For VOA News, I am Mugume, Davis Ruakarinj in Juba.
Here is a recap of today's top story. South Sudan's government is criticizing the UN Security Council decision yesterday to deploy an additional 1,000 peacekeepers to the country. Foreign Minister Benjamin Marial says the move will not help efforts to implement the peace deal signed by the two warring parties in August. He says South Sudan doesn't need more troops. What it needs, he says, is a capacity-building program. 13 out of the 15 member nations of the council voted to extend the UNMISS mandate for another 6 months. It's been 2 years since the conflict broke out in South Sudan, which led to the deaths of more than 10,000 people. Civil rights activists launched a website to register civilians who lost their lives in various wars over the last 6 decades, with an emphasis on this latest conflict. The Community Empowerment for Progress organization is leading the initiative for the website called Remembering the Ones We Lost. And finally, the Eastern Equatoria State Parliament has fixed a maximum price for fuel, a decision lawmakers say is aimed at saving consumers from exploitation. Fuel stations across the state must now sell a liter of petrol at 7 instead of 16 South Sudanese pounds. And that's a look at today's top story, and that's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song No More War by Ross Corby.
Well, just checking up the global scene all over the world right now, seeing Rasta cities. We need a global love, you know, and a global solution, and must be a conclusion. Sure. Rastafari, just stop the war. No more war in Africa. The people gotta live up to Jah. No more war in the Middle East. The people are fighting the peace. No more war in America. The people gotta live up to Jah. No more war in Asia. We gotta keep it nice and neat, y'all. Our people suffering around the world today. They're trying to find a solution. We look around and nowhere to hide. Not even a single place to run. How can you say you leave?
We've been listening to Ross Corby with the song No More War. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington.
And I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you back here tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from The Voice of America.
Only giants is a solution. No mankind has it on its own. We were created in the image and the likeness of God. Mankind, don't try to fool yourself. Wake up in the morning.